The following presentation was made available by Inspiration Express as part of the daily Kitzur Shulchan Aruch calendar program. There are many more free lectures and resources available at www.kitzur365.org. Today's lecture is given by Rabbi Moshe Hillel Kaufman.
Baruch haba, we're doing Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, Simen Samech Hei, Hilchos Ribbis. Sifim Aleph Duvav. Sif Aleph. The fish and afshay shall adam betivai chaymed umisave la mamain, because a person's natural instinct is to desire money. The karav yoyser shehe adam nichshal beisir ribis mibishai surin shibamamain, and because it's more likely for a person to stumble on the halachas of ribis more than on some of the other halachas of money. Why? Ki begezel vaynag kadaima, because when it comes to stealing or charging above the market price, a person guards himself so that he shouldn't be robbed or that he shouldn't be taken advantage of and charged above the market price. And also the one who wants to do the stealing or wants to do the overcharging, sometimes he will hold back from doing so because he's embarrassed or because he's afraid. So the person who's going to get the raw end is being on guard, and the person who's going to be the perpetrator is going to oftentimes be embarrassed or is going to be afraid that he'll be caught. So therefore, the opportunity doesn't always happen. Masha'en came by ribbis, which is different when it comes to ribbis. Ki aloyve naisin loybe tzana hatoiv, because the borrower is giving the lender the ribbis, the interest, out of his own goodwill, and he's very happy. Because he found at least something that he could do for ribbis, someone who lend him up for ribbis. And also the lender thinks in his mind, he's doing the borrower a tremendous favor, because he can make with this capital that he's lending him, the borrower can make a lot of money, yosem in a ribis, more than the ribis. Lachain, and therefore, nekel ma'oid she'adam nispatechas v'shalom in a yetzahara, a person can easily be fooled by the yetzahara, seduced by the yetzahara, li'ayis nichshol b'issa zeh, to be nichshol in this issa. Alkain, therefore, hechmira toyosein ha'kadoshim ma'oid b'issa zeh. Therefore, the Torah was very machmir when it came to the issa ribis. V'harbe lavin namu boi, and there are many averis that are associated with the Isser of Ribbis. Hamaver oiver b'shisha lavin, the lender is oiver with six lavin. V'lo yokum b'tchias meisim, and if he regularly lends with Ribbis, he will not arise when it comes to time for tchias meisim. Shenemar, because it says in the Pasuk, v'neshech nosan v'sabis lokach, he lent with Ribbis. V'choy lo yichya, he will not live, meaning when it comes to tchias meisim. Haloive, the borrower, Oiver b'shleisha lavin, he's oiver three averes. Hasoifer va'edim, the scribe that writes the documents, va'edim and the witnesses, va'arev and the guarantor, oivim kol echad b'lav echad. Each one is oiver one lav. V'chein asasur, and also the broker, shahaya b'neim, that was between the lender and the borrower. Or shisiyah l'echad mehem, or he helped one of them. Kagayin, for example, shahaya mokam l'haloiver l'lvois, that he showed the borrower where he can find the loan, or he showed the lender where there's someone who wants to borrow. So the broker also would be over one aveira. So many people have a misconception. They think that the issur ribis is only if you're blood sucking. If you have someone who doesn't have money for food, or his business is failing and he needs to borrow money and no one's going to lend it to him, and now someone's going to come and lend it to him at 30% interest, well, that's not fair. That's ribbis, they would think. But otherwise, perhaps not. And we see clearly that's not the case at all. Ribbis is any time you're getting more, you're making the borrower pay back more than what he's receiving. In general, that's always going to be a problem with ribbis. So even though let's say he wants to borrow $1,000 because he's going to turn it and put it into an investment which is going to make him $100,000 in a week from now, And the lender says, well, I'm going to charge you $20 interest for that $1,000 for the week. So everybody's really happy. The lender's happy. He's making $20 on this $1,000. And the borrower is even more happy because now he's going to make $99,000 on his $1,000 investment. And to pay $20 to get that capital is a joke. He's so thankful and so happy, and it's really helping him. But the answer is, that's still usur, because if you're making the borrower pay more than what he got, he's paying more than the $1,000. He has to pay back $1,020. That's the usur vivus. I think the most common example I get called about is when you have a person, he's buying a house, and he needs to borrow down payment money that he's short, or he wants to fix up his house that he's purchased, and he's short down payment money for that, for the fix-ups. And he goes to a parent or relative, and he asks them, can I borrow, let's say, $50,000? And the relative says, well, I'll tell you, I have $50,000 in my savings account, and I'll be happy to lend it to you and help you out, but, I just don't want to lose from it, so as long as you pay me back the $50,000 and just reimburse me for whatever I'm losing, from the interest that the money's in the bank with, just I shouldn't lose. So I'm not going to ask to come ahead. I know I could charge you a lot more. The market rate is a lot more, but I just don't want to lose. The money's earning X percent in the bank now, and it's going to continue earning that in the savings account. So just pay me that amount, and I'll do that. And I'll do that for you. Now, in this case, the lender is a big Baal Chesed. Right, he's lending the person the money. He's taking a risk, and he's making the same money that he would have made if he would have kept it in the bank. So even though he's a Baal Chesed and he's trying to be nice, but there's an Issur Ribbis over here. He's because he's requiring the borrower to pay back not just the $50,000, but the $50,000 plus an additional amount. Now we'll learn in the later shiur that there's such a thing as a Het Iska, where many times we can structure a payment that appears to be like ribbis, but halachically isn't ribbis, and this way the transaction can still meet everybody's needs. That's for a different shear, and when it comes to ribbis, there's almost always a solution, most of the time. But if you don't recognize the problem, that's definitely not going to put the solution in place. So a person has to recognize the problem, which is a common problem. Another twist to the same case where the person has to borrow $50,000 for a down payment, whatever, and he goes to a relative or a friend, and the relative or friend, or usually parent, says, listen, I don't have the $50,000, but I do have a home equity line of credit. So what I can do is I can take out $50,000 from a home equity line of credit and lend it to you, and the bank's going to be charging interest on that. So you just write the check straight to the bank and pay the bank whatever their charging for the monthly interest, and I'm not going to make a penny on it. It's between you and the bank. Now, that's being very nice and generous. Again, another Baal Chesed here. He's not making any money on the deal. He's taking on a risk in order to help somebody else out. It's very nice, but there's an Issur Ribbis. If he's requiring the lend borrower to pay back not just the $50,000, but $50,000 plus an additional amount, that's Ribbis. It should be pointed out that the problem is, even if the lender or the lender's lender is not getting any money, if someone would say, I'll lend you $1,000 on condition that you give me back $1,000 plus you give $20 to tzedakah, that's also kasher ribbis, because the arrangement that's being made is you're requiring the borrower to give back more than what you're giving him. And even though you're not receiving that $20 benefit, it's going to tzedakah, and it's a mitzvah to give tzedakah normally. But again, it's ribbis because you're making it a requirement of the loan, and the borrower is not allowed to be paying back more than he is receiving in general. We'll see some exceptions later on. One last common example is oftentimes someone has a credit card. Let's say Reuven has a credit card, and Shimon doesn't have a credit card, or Shimon needs to buy something on a credit card. So Reuven allows him to charge on his credit card, or Reuven gets a card on his account, but has Shimon's name. So even though Reuven's the only one responsible as far as the credit card company is concerned, they don't know who Shimon is. They don't have a social security number or anything. All the achrayas for this loan is on Reuven, but he gives Shimon that card to use as well. And if Shimon doesn't pay him the what he charged right away. So then oftentimes the account will now then accrue interest. And Reuven would like to pass off that interest expense to Shimon. As because Shimon didn't pay him on time, that's why he's being charged by the credit card company, because he did a favor for Shimon. But the answer is, again, it's the same thing. Reuven, if he let Shimon purchase, say, $500 of merchandise on his card, he's only allowed to get $500 back from Shimon. He can't require Shimon and can't accept from Shimon the $500 plus the interest that the credit card company is charging him. The Kitzur Shulchan Aruch said that the Sefer, the scribe, is also chayv in Aveira when it comes to doing this ribbis. The modern-day application of that is the attorney. If an attorney is drawing up a document that calls for ribbis, and there's no hefta iska or other way that it's designed to avoid the isser of ribbis, so then the lawyer as well gets an isser. Usually it happens in a mortgage transaction or in many business transactions where there's a fee paid for the for the use of the money for the borrowing. So that's something that the attorney as well can't be involved in, even though both borrower and lender are, let's say, not from, and they don't care about that, but still there's an aver involved, and for the attorney to get involved in that is certainly a problem. Sif Beis. Misha Nichshol V'Lokach Ribbis, if someone stumbled and did actually take ribbis, which he shouldn't have, Mukhuyev Lachzira, he's chayev to return it. Mavad ribbis mukdamis, ribbis mucheris, except for an exception which we'll see, Lukam and Sivvav. So the Torah said, even though both the lender and the borrower are in full agreement that the ribbis should be paid, nevertheless, the Torah said that money is considered stolen. It's not allowed to be paid. So if the borrower now was given that money, I'm sorry, the borrower gave the lender the money, so now the lender, it's considered stolen money, the lender has to return it, just like he would have to return a stolen object. Sif Gimel. Afilu loy pasaki maysa ribis b'shah salva. Even if you didn't state that there would be ribis at the time of the loan, you didn't set any ribis to the transaction at the time of the loan. Al shehilba loy b'chinam, but you lent the other person for free, no interest. Adzman plenty, but you gave him the free loan only until a certain date, at which time he has to repay it. You sold him some merchandise, bakofa, on credit, adzman plenty, until a certain date, which he then has to pay. There's some other reason why he has to pay you some money. For whatever reason it may be. Zman ha-pirayin, and now when it comes to that due date of that initial loan, which was done interest-free, paisik le'ezeh davar b'shvil she'achiv le'ez ha-zman, the borrower or the lender decide, okay, if you pay X dollars or do something additional, so then I'll give you additional time. If you pay me X dollars or X percent, I'll wait another month or two. Gam zaisi ribis, that's also ribis. Anytime you're paying or receiving money because of a delay in payment on the loan, that would be ribbis. And of course, there's always going to be certain exceptions, which we'll see hopefully in the future shiurim. But as a general rule of thumb, that's an iser ribbis. Sif Dalid. Afilo im haloi benoisin lo yoisin midaita. Even if the borrower is giving the lender more, knowingly, b'shas piran, at the time of repayment, shaloi hisni imai, and he didn't make that as part of the agreement, meaning Reuven lent Shimon $1,000, and it was interest-free. But now, when Shimon is giving back the $1,000, he's giving back an additional sum, which was not called for, but he's doing it anyway. And he's not saying that he's giving it to him because of ribbis. He's just giving it to him plain. No one's saying anything about ribbis. Gam kein osa, it's still osa, again, because the borrower is paying back more than he received. A common application of this is when oftentimes someone sends somebody to buy something for him. Someone's going to a store and you ask them, if you pick up, this item or that item for me. And the person who's going to the store, lays out the money or charges it on his credit card and then brings it back to the person, and the person says, okay, how much do I owe you? And they make a cheshbon, and let's say it comes out to $19.72. And the The person might often give him a $20 bill. He doesn't have change. He doesn't want to play with the change. And so he'll just pay, give his friend $20 to cover it for it, and don't worry about the rest. So that's, says the Menchas Yitzchok and Shulis, that's something we have to be careful for, because that's the what's going on right here. The person owes you, the shliach owes you $19. The shliach is owed $19.72, and he's being paid back $20. He's being paid back more than what he lent. So what are the eitzes around this? So there's two eitzes. One eitza is that when you want to pay back the $20 bill for the $19.72 debt, you could tell the, in this effect, the lender, the one who went to the store for you, you tell him that, listen, I only have a $20 bill, so the $19.72, that's going back to pay back the loan that you lent me, and the 28 cents, can you be my shliach to give it to tzedakah? So that's okay, because the lender did not require the borrower to give 28 cents to tzedakah, because like we said earlier, that would be a problem of ribis if it was a requirement of the loan. There was no requirement like that. The loan was, whatever it cost me, you have to pay it back. So it cost me 1972. You owe me 1972. So now he's telling the shliach, here's 1972, plus here's 28 cents, which I want you to go and give to tzedakah on my behalf, if you can please be my shliach for that as well. That's certainly fine. Some people don't like that idea, because now the person has to worry about giving his 28 cents to tzedakah, and he doesn't want to forget. So another way to structure it, which a lot of people do, is when they're going to send someone to go to the store for them, or if someone is asking them to go to the store for them, they structure it not as a loan, but they say rather, okay, you know what, I'll buy it, and then I'll sell it to you. So rather than me laying out the money to purchase it for you and then giving it to you and you owe me the money, I'm going to buy it for myself and I'm going to sell it to you because I know that you want it. And so this way, if you buy the merchandise for $19.72 and now you're going to sell it to him for $20, that's certainly fine. That's not ribis. Ribis is when there's a loan. Over here, there's no loan. You're buying and you're selling. So if you structure it that way, that would avoid any other problem with this small change. Sifhei. Afilu aimer haloiva b'shas nesinus haribis shu noisten loiva matana. Even if the borrower, at the time that he's giving the ribis, tells the lender, this is not ribis. This is a present. It's not ribis. It's a present. Gam kein osel lekablo mimenu. You also can't accept it from him. Aval, but, im kvar lokach mimenu ribis, if the ribis was already paid, v'amava oisit tshuva, and now the mava wants to do tshuva. The lender accepted the ribis, and that was wrong, and now he wants to do tshuva. V'oitza lachzio laloiva, and now he wants to, as we said earlier, that's considered money that's stolen, and he has to return it to the borrower, and now he goes to the borrower and says, I'd like to return this ribis money, because it doesn't belong to me, it's considered like it's stolen, and I'm returning it to you. V'hu maicholoi, but the borrower says, no, it's okay, I'm Michael, I don't need it back, mutter. So then that's okay. Well, you're not allowed to give it and say it's only a matana, but once it was done, and yes, it was done, so now it just is a din of Hashavas Gezela, and now if he wants to Michael that, he has the right to do that. Vav. Also, l'hakdim is a ribis l'achar isa. You're not allowed to pay ribis before the loan, and you're not allowed to pay ribis after the loan was paid. How is that? Kate said. Ruvain wanted to borrow money from Shimon, Mois. Umakdim shaleach loy matana, and now Ruvain, before he asks Shimon for that $50,000 loan, he sends him a nice gift basket or some other type of incentive to warm him up. Upeish loy b'shvil shielvei, and he explains, you know, I'm sending this because now I'm going to ask you to lend me money. Or the gift is a large gift. It's an expensive gift. The mistama havikilu perish loyishu b'shvil shielveu, which is basically saying, even though not in words, but it's clear that the gift is being sent not as a regular gift that he sends him once in a while, but the gift is clearly to induce him to make that loan. Zer ribis mukdemis. That's called ribis mukdemis. You're paying him something in the hopes of getting the loan. And therefore, it's not considered regular ribis deraisa, which is where you're actually setting up what the fee is for the ribis. Here, you're just incentivizing them before the loan was made. That's still awesome. Lava mimenu v'hichzir loy ma'isav. Let's say you borrowed, Ruvain lent money to Shimon. Shimon borrowed the money, and he paid back the loan. Shimon paid back the money. And now, after the loan is all paid and done, so Shimon wants to sends a gift to Reuven, thanking him for his kindness in lending him the money. Because now Reuven couldn't use that capital. It was stuck and held by Shimon while Shimon was using it. That's Ribbis Mucheris. I know somebody, he does a lot of loans, Gemilas Chasadim, he lends a lot of people money, and he has a whole sheet prepared in advance that he gives to the borrowers at the time of the loan, explaining in Hilchas Ribbis what they're not allowed to do for him. They're not allowed to give him gifts before the loan, but which is already done, but they're not allowed to give him gifts, special gifts that they wouldn't give during the loan. They can't give him a special gift when they pay the loan back. All of these things, which is normally a hegish of hakaras hatov. Everyone wants to, the borrower wants to be nice. He realizes that a favor is being done for him, and he wants to show his gratitude, and that's a natural instinct that's normally good. But in this case, it's usa because of ribbis. So instead of feeling uncomfortable, and now the borrower comes to the door with a present, he says, "I'm sorry, I can't take it," and etc., and it becomes all a mess. He lets them know up front what the halachas of ribbis are, and this way everybody does well. Kol tov.